Sorry, Brittany, J-Lo, and Jessica. Hot bodies don't stand a chance in the Stone Appliance Stiff Celebrity Sweepstakes. Listen mornings at 7:35. Brought to you by Central Yamaha in Plano and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
This Saturday, Gordon Keith will be out at Team Bonner Chevrolet. That's in Denison. South Eisenhower Parkway at 75 and Spur 503. Very confusing directions there, but he'll be there from 3 until 5. You can register to win ticket t-shirts and tons of prizes from Team Bonner, including a guided fishing trip with Rob Wilson, golf lessons from Class A teaching pro Don Bonner, and a free ride in a real tank from Tactical Tanks. And he'll have a couple of very foxy ticket chicks out there with him as well. That's this Saturday from 3 until 5, Team Bonner Chevrolet in Denison. All right, we are out here at the entrance of the Fort Worth Zoo, and joining us now is our good pal from the zoo, the great Sean Green.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Sean, well, it's been a privilege to have you guys out here today.
We are honored to be in your presence once again. Sean is the guy from the Fort Worth Zoo who brought some really cool animals over. Now, Grego missed this.
I did. I wasn't there. I was bedridden, but I'm here today, and I'm excited. Well, got to see the penguin. What a cool little thing that is.
And you're going to hear it. I don't know. Remember when it brayed before?
Yes.
It sounds a little bit like, was it Chansey before?
Chansey.
Right.
A little bit at the high end of it.
Right, a little bit.
A little high shrill, but exactly. And we have all types of animals out here today. I just want to say, Grego, when you mentioned, too, about Jimmy Stewart, you know a lot about the Fort Worth Zoo. There's no question about it. You're absolutely right about Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, he was very instrumental in getting the thing up and running and making sure it's one of the best in the world.
Absolutely. So we've got some good history here, and we have a bird here. Now, we just heard a call back there from the pair we had on before.
Right.
This is a new one. Can you say hello? That's another one.
That is so funny, seeing an animal talk.
And it's amazing because this is a blue and gold macaw that I have in my hand, and this is about 10 years old. It was donated to the Fort Worth Zoo because a couple had their first baby, and birds like this can get very possessive and was actually losing its attention to the baby and started getting a little aggressive. So what happened is they go into the zoo, and we have him. Hi, Mac.
How are you?
Pretty good, huh? And what we've done is be able to get some of those things on cue. And the way we do that is the bird talks and does whatever it wants to. Everybody always asks me, I want a parrot that can talk. I want a parrot that can talk. If the bird doesn't have a desire to it, it's not going to talk. But what happens is the bird learns how to say a few things. We hear it. We capture it. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes they say some words they're not supposed to say, which wouldn't be appropriate in a school setting that we take these birds to. So
really? So they cuss?
This one said the F word.
Really?
Yeah.
Would we have to dump that if a bird cussed on the air?
No, he won't. He hasn't said a lot, but when he came in, they said, just want you to know, it says a few of the four-letter fun words.
If I had a bird, that's all I'd teach it, cuss words.
That's it?
Just to cuss everybody out that walked in my house.
Well, these are incredibly smart birds. They really are. However, this one has, his name is Mac, and so I want to show you, he can say his name. Hi, Mac.
How are you?
Good. What's your name?
Barbara.
It's never learned its name. It thinks it's Barbara. I have no idea why.
Is that what it said?
It's
Barbara?
Barbara, listen again. Here, ready? What's your name?
Barbara.
Wow.
Do it again. Come on. What's your name? Oh, he wants to get the mic now. What's your name?
Barbara.
Good bird.
Barbara?
Barbara.
So great.
Why does he think its name's Barbara?
Listened to a lot of Streisand records when it was a young bird. No, I don't know. Actually, I think what the owner's...
might have been
the owner's name or a friend might have been Barbara, and it picked that up. But isn't it amazing how it can say that?
Wow.
Now, what
that is
Barbara?
Would answer that to anybody or just you?
No,
like
you want to
try ask it?
I mean, you can give him a nut. You want to give him a nut, you can...
The whole thing?
Huh?
The whole thing?
Grego, he could shred that thing like
I know,
it's
but,
nothing.
Well, I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, you were just...
He won't talk again. Here, if you get your fingers too close, you may not pull one back.
You know what? Maybe I should just let you do that.
He's fairly possessive, so... Can you say hello?
Hello.
So we just run a few things vocals with them, but they're really cool birds.
Hello, it sounds like gorgeous. Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley.
Hello.
Hey, get it to say hello again.
All right, here.
Listen to this.
I'm gonna get this the last time. Hello.
Hello.
This is one of the big peanut now. Oh, he's saving it.
Yeah, he'll hold it. You have two toes in the front, two toes in the back. They hold it. That's what they hold on to branches with. They'll also hold their food just like a hand put up to their mouth. That hook bill will break your finger pretty easily. And people have these as pets. And we mentioned this before last time we were on. 60 years it can live. They destroy everything with that beak, and they're very social. So
I can't believe he shells a peanut better than I do.
He skins it, too.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Beautiful little bird. Now,
boy,
I have an
gorgeous.
I have an alligator. I'm going to put him back on the perch. I want to show you an alligator because...
All right, Sean tried to get me to hold this alligator.
He'll just stand there and won't fly off?
Well, it's weird. He doesn't like to fly. He's fully winged, and he can go anywhere. He could fly over to Colonial to the fourth hole if he wanted to, but he doesn't. For some reason, the fear of flight... Yeah, so, and he doesn't like rain either.
Oh, my
he wouldn't
gosh.
Be a good rain.
Oh, my
channel.
Gosh. Look at this. There's the gator, Greg.
There's
cool.
The gator, man.
The reason I brought... Gordo was mentioned today about hunting this morning. I don't know if you guys caught that at all, but he mentioned something about hunting, and he was dead on with a lot of the information that he was talking about. This is an animal that 30 years ago was an endangered species. This is the 2.5-foot American alligator. Today,
gator.
It's come back. And one of the big reasons why is because in the early 20th century, you could hunt these at will, as many as you wanted.
Wait, how... Is this full grown?
No, this is only 2 years old.
Okay.
Here, hold it, Corby.
Oh, dear God.
Hold it tight underneath the head and don't let it thrash.
Snake.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
But unregulated hunting, and what happened is they put laws down, and this animal came back. How many animals come off the endangered species list that you can now find in the menu of Razoo's or some restaurant like that? Not many. So it's a great conservation success story for this entire species. We have a 10-footer at the Fort Worth Zoo that's 50 years old.
So how big will this one get?
It can get over 10 feet. You just give them, you know, 30, 40 years. They normally grow a foot a year on average. You're a golfer, right?
Yeah.
You gone to Florida before, ever, or
yeah.
South Carolina?
Oh, I've
alligators?
Seen, yeah, yeah.
You see their tail hang out of the cattail. Sometimes you don't know how big they are. Simple way to do it. The tail is always half the length of the body. Hold on tight.
I got him.
Okay.
I got him. Good Lord.
When it's 2 feet long tail, the tail's 2 foot long, that means it's a 4 foot alligator. 5 foot tail, it's a monster. They can get up to 16 feet. The record is 18 feet long in the United States.
18 feet?
18 feet.
What would an alligator like that weigh? 600 pounds?
Over 1,000. Easy.
Really?
Over 1,000. We have American
God.
Alligators and American crocodiles. Here in Texas, you can see alligators. They are our largest reptile. They are the keeper of the wetlands. Very important. When we have drought here, these big bodies, 300, 400 pounds, will dredge out those gator holes that you've heard of before.
Yeah.
And that little pool of water might sustain life for the birds, turtles, fish, everything until the rains come back to fill that area up.
Where'd you get this guy?
I picked him up at Walmart. No, we picked him up in Florida. So
okay.
When he's about 4 years old, he'll probably be 4 feet, Corby. We won't be able to hold him. What we'll do is we'll take him over back to Florida. We'll exchange him out there, and he'll be there. So we have a little program, or he'll end up at the Fort Worth Zoo somewhere
in
our
exhibit. I'm telling you, can literally feel how strong he is holding him and the power. I mean, every time he breathes, it's like, oh, my God, he's going to start thrashing.
The thing that always freaks me out about alligators and crocodiles is their eyes. I mean, they're like lifeless.
Look at this.
I know. I mean, it's just looking at me.
Nictitating membrane. What that basically means, he's got a swimmer's goggle.
Yeah.
He's got three eyelids, upper, lower, and then a goggle that goes over his eye. When he goes under the water, he literally submerges himself. That goes over there, protects their eyes.
And
look
they
at
can
this.
See.
Nose, eyes, and ears. People can't obviously see that, but on an alligator, it's all on the top of their head because they look like a log floating. And from the head down, they can have 10 foot underneath the water and sneak right up on their prey.
Oh, how common are those in this part of the world?
Very common. I mean, there's a million alligators, Mike, in the state of Florida alone. Million alligators.
No, I mean in Texas, like around
in Texas,
here.
All over the place. Now, people will say they're all over in Fort Worth, Dallas. They're not. I mean, some people say I've seen them before in Lake Worth. Occasional. It may have been a pet that someone released at some point. But you're going to see them all over down in South Texas, more towards the coast. Our wildlife refuges are teeming with them. In fact, I have someone I just talked to the other day said they saw a 12-footer on one of the guys' ranch. 12-foot alligator.
Wow.
And that's only about...
Like they're real prevalent on the Neches River, like in East Texas.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, this is a very important animal, and it's actually now ranched in Texas with a license for boots, for food, everything else. So there's a hunting situation set up where no animal has ever gone extinct or endangered due to regulated hunting. Regulated is the key word. And a lot of times people conceive poaching and hunting. Two different things altogether, but this really is truly, in the United States, with the bald eagle, the peregrine falcon, a success story.
What kind of damage could he do right now? I mean, like, if your hand's sitting out there and he wanted to get a hold of it.
Or your hand.
Or
mine. He would grab a hold, and you see right here, there's about 70, 80 teeth in their mouth, and what they do is they wouldn't do all the damage just crushing down on you immediately, but they thrash. You've heard of gator rolls before. That's where all the damage happens.
So does he have that instinct
gator.
In him now?
Absolutely. As soon as he grabs a hold there, he twists, turns, and he'd shred you pretty good. The first thing you'd do is I'd hold on to him real tight, and we'd go to the hospital.
And don't they normally, the alligator, when they attack their prey, they drown them, right?
Yeah, yep. Very rarely do they ever do it just by bites.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen that video on Animal Planet about those crocodiles during the season where the wildebeest come down through the water?
Yes.
And
yes.
They just feed on these huge numbers. And wildebeest are small compared to zebras in that they take... They'll take them underwater, just drown them, wait, and then they'll wait for it to soften up and go eat it maybe a few hours later. unbelievable.
Now, what about this piece of meat that's right here, this steak? Seriously, I mean, is he eyeballing it? Would he eat that?
I don't know. I don't think we should try, because we have a nutritionist here at the zoo
sure.
that would kill me. But
yeah.
he normally eats rodents and fish, but usually cooked meat they're not too into at all.
Gregor, you want to hold it?
Just hold on.
Not really.
I'll tell you what, let's take a break now, and we'll have more animals with Sean from the Fort Worth Zoo next here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
KGCK, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTBK, Sherman-Denison. KTDK, Sanger. George Jub-Jub Dunham. Craig Jr. Miller and the Great Gordo. Musing in the news tomorrow morning at 7:15 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Don't forget, we're going to be out at the Cape Buffalo Grill tomorrow. That's in far north Dallas, Trinity Mills at Addison Road, a stone's throw west of the tollway. And we're out there with the presentation from 3 until 7. Cape Buffalo, of course, a very popular, very well-liked, and very frequent Friday port of call for the little hard line for some time now. And we're going to be there again tomorrow, and really looking forward to it, as always. Well, we're out here at the entrance to the Fort Worth Zoo today, right across from Colonial, where I believe golf is still underway, right?
Yes, it is.
And you know what else, Rhines?
What?
Probably less than 300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's right over there?
What's that?
The hippo.
Really?
About 300 yards.
Two. Two hippos. Daisy and Jonesy.
Wow.
Very docile names.
6,000 pounds each, about. 5,000, 6,000 pounds.
Now, have they mated?
Well, I don't think they have. They're both females.
Oh, dear.
But
they could.
We're not going to rule that
they
out.
Could.
Probably not going to be good for the breeding.
Maybe they
program.
Swing that way. You
maybe
never
they
can
do.
Tell.
Sean Green of the Fort Worth Zoo is here with us. He's brought a bunch of animals out, as he does every time we see him, just about. What do you got there?
Well, you know, I thought this would be a great animal because it would be really vocal, but now it's all this tent and it's gone silent. This is a great horned owl, and this is one of the largest, if not the largest, owl species we have in Texas. And it's a beautiful animal, one that was dropped off on our doorstep last spring. Can you believe this? A little quick story about this. This bird comes to us in a box, dropped off by somebody speeding away in a pickup, two owls. They had all their fluffy feathers on there, their downy feathers. Didn't know what it was right away. Figured out pretty quickly they were great horned owls. One made it, one didn't. This is the one that made it. And what people don't know out there about local wildlife, raptors in particular, it's illegal to have a raptor. If it falls out of a nest, you can't keep it without a permit. So under the Migratory Bird Act, they're protected. So people who find hawks, red-tailed hawks, they're all over the place here in the Colonial area. These type of birds, like the great horned owl, you can't even have a feather without a permit, even a feather off this. So one of the things is, I think this guy realized it, sped off, and we had this animal that imprinted, and this is a great horned owl. Huge animal, huge claws. It's hard to describe on the radio, but I can just tell you this. Its appetite consists of skunks. Can eat
really?
A skunk.
Wow.
It's a 3-pound bird that can take a skunk.
Wow.
They have no sense of smell, thank goodness. And as most birds don't have a good sense of smell.
What will they eat in the skunk? Like, will they tear it apart or they eat the whole thing?
Look at these. See these talons here?
Good
these talons
Lord.
Are...
That's why you're wearing this big, giant glove.
Big old gauntlet here with leather that even when he wants to hold on tight, he'll still drop you to his knees. You have to keep these trimmed, otherwise they'll go right through the leather as well. Grabs hold of a skunk, basically with the feet, takes him up into a tree, and then shreds him. Eats a little bit of whatever he wants, leaves the rest, and then the vultures come down and take it. At nighttime, primarily is when these guys hunt, and their hearing is so acute, they can hear a mouse 50 yards away easily scratching around. And the reason I say rodents and why that's so important is that one pair of rodents reproducing in 1 year's time, all their offspring can create 1 million mice, they say. This one alone, one owl like this will eat 1,000. So you have to have these guys around. And Grego, I know you don't like snakes, but snakes and owls are very important to control that rodent population.
You know what? The less rodents, the better. You know? So there you go. There's
give
your
me
answer.
The rodent.
No, no.
Spoken
no.
from someone with rodentia himself.
Real bad right now, too.
It's so weird seeing a leash on a bird.
You have to have that. Now, this is we have some minor falconry equipment that keeps that bird from flying off, but when we go out to do our programs, we run an outreach all through Dallas-Fort Worth to schools, churches, you name it. We do fly these at the program. It's just that I like to have a ceiling over my head just in case he takes a wrong turn, because otherwise you see him who knows where in the
here
city.
Is
I wanted to show you this again because, Greg, you didn't get a chance to see this. And
that is my favorite animal that you've brought up so far.
This is my favorite, too. This is Jack. And all you remember before, this is our black-footed penguin. Can you say hello? That's him, not me. And that is also known as the jackass penguin, and it is found in South Africa. It's the only species found in South
jackass.
Africa.
Right, Mike.
Black and white, feathers all over, and just a remarkable animal.
Just hangs out.
Yeah.
Just chills out,
just
sitting on our table right now.
And follows you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw the pictures on the website where it was just walking up and down the hall.
Yeah. Yeah, walked cool. all the way down to sales, turned right around and walked back.
And you know, the amazing thing that I remember from your last trip up there
oh,
with
no,
him,
why are you biting me? Why are you
that,
doing that? I didn't
well,
do anything
you told
to
us
you.
That these are not necessarily cold-weather birds like everybody thinks.
Nope. You have 17 different types of penguins. Penguins found the Galapagos, New Zealand, Australia, South America. But the ones we see all the time at SeaWorld and that are the big ones, the emperors, the kings, and those are the ones that can live in temperatures 30 below. This one, we're out here right now, 85 degrees, perfect temperature. Not
He's
pain,
not uncomfortable.
Not at all.
And you were telling about the feathers that the size of a quarter, there would be 300
feathers. So you do the math on that, you think thousands upon thousands of little teeny feathers there. And right on their bottom here is a gland, a preening gland. They'll take their beak and actually stick it down there and they'll apply oil to their feathers. And that's how they waterproof themselves. That's how they grease themselves up so they can actually swim.
Wow.
20 miles an hour.
That's great.
But let's bring out a cat, because we talked about Tiger not being here at the Colonial, which was sad because I really want to see him play again. But we have 7 tigers on the zoo grounds. So if you want to come out and see tigers, we still have them. We have Indo-Chinese tigers. We have white tigers. In fact,
what an absolute beautiful animal that is.
Isn't it great? We were able to raise, last year, our staff was able to raise the white tigers in our exhibit right now. So if you come out and see Star and Stripes, they're 150 pounds right now. When they were born, when we were working with them, they were the size of this cat right here, 3 pounds.
God.
Really? Here, hold it, Cobra.
Oh, it's just like a
now,
cat.
What is this exactly?
This is called a serval cat. This is found in Africa. It's one of those ones you don't hear very often about. You know, you hear about the leopard, the lion, the cheetah. This looks like a mini cheetah in many ways
right.
with the coloration.
That's what I thought it was.
But look at the ears. Dead giveaway, huge ears. And if you look really closely, this has stripes like a tiger. Cheetahs don't. They
yep.
just have spots. So they
right.
have both spots and stripes. And the thing that is so cool about this cat is when they're full grown, they eat frogs, they'll eat rodents, but one of their prey is guinea fowl. And when they flush them, just like a hunter would, when they flush them out or the dogs flush them up in the air, they also do the hunting. They leap 7 to 10 feet vertically up in the air and catch them in mid-flight with these huge, look at these legs, huge
oh, wow.
feet.
I mean, you can just tell. How old is this?
This is 9 weeks old. Name is Kenya right now. We're raising it for our outreach programs. He is an outreach ambassador cat that we're going to have. He's going to be fully clawed, has all his canines, and he's developing quickly. In fact, he's probably gaining, I don't know, 60, 70 grams a day, which for a cat like this is pretty good weight gain. So,
all right, so could you have a problem if this thing got out, let's say, for whatever reason, would it bother humans?
Probably.
I mean, could it do damage to a human?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen the videos where the animal control are taking cats out? And those cats are just flying all over the place,
yeah.
and they get bit. I saw one where a guy got bit between his groin. And, I mean, they can, even these little cats can grab such a hold of with their teeth. It's amazing. This cat, if you were to grab a hold of, you couldn't get him off.
Really?
You couldn't get him off. And the claws are all retractile. Everyone is razor sharp. And when they grab into their prey, there is just no hunter in the world, I think, like cats. And it could be a tiger, but it can be the small cats. The way they are able to stalk up on their prey, you look at these stripes, these spots. That's just not for show. That's for camouflage in the savannas of Africa.
And because they've got everything they have as a weapon. I mean, their claws, their teeth, their quickness.
Mm-hmm. And if this cat is really agitated or something's coming at it, he'll roll on his back and he'll just start kicking with every single his front and back paws and just in disembowel anything he can get next to.
Have you ever seen him jump up in the air and nab a bird? Have you ever seen that yourself?
I have some friends in Point Defiance Zoo in Seattle Seattle, Washington area. That literally jump one 7 feet straight up to a lure, just a little like a cat toy, seven
wow.
feet up, and it goes vertical.
That's pretty good vertical.
Unbelievable.
That'd be high draft picks.
Well, you think about that. I mean, literally 10 feet. So this cat could start on the ground and vertical up and sit on top of a basketball rim.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Want to show you one more.
Wow.
Grego, is
oh,
all right?
Are you going to bring a snake out? Oh, please don't. Oh, God.
Just, can you, yeah, I got
Corby,
it.
Will you hold him real quick?
Yeah. If I hold the cat and the snake gets out here.
All right,
now,
kitty.
This is...
Just don't bring it close to me. I'll
hold him over here. Just realize he... Just think of him as an inanimate object.
Okay? Oh, my God.
Seriously. Greg,
no,
hang on.
I got to move back.
Just right there. Just
I got to move back.
That's fine.
I can't handle it.
We've got a good buffer right here.
Look at that, Greg.
And look at Jen. Look how skinny Jen is here, and she's holding this thing. See, she didn't like snakes when she first started.
What about the cat? Was the cat freaked out?
Yeah, don't hold the cat. That's like a perfect-sized meal for him.
Holy
so. This is a 10-foot... Okay, all right, Greg, right here.
Move right back over here.
Look at Greg. He's moved 10 feet away from the snake.
10-foot Burmese python right here.
Hey, he's not kidding.
It is so cool. If you even felt this one time, it would be nothing like you even imagined. There's no slime on here. Come over here. Want to feed him? Someone feel him? Ticket chick will come over here. There you go.
Look at that, Greg. A ticket chick.
Look at that.
Well, she's tougher than me, okay?
She's 3.5 years old right here, this girl right here. See? Does it feel soft?
Oh, God.
So this is Betty, our Burmese python, 10 feet long. We have one that's 16 feet. I do want to get a plug in real quick. Mid-June, we're opening a new exhibit here called Parrot Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
These birds, 600 birds, are going to land down on your head. You'll have cups of nectar, seeds to feed them with, and it's going to be an amazing, the most interactive experience that we've had at the Fort Worth. So you'll walk in, and literally all these parrots, lorries, lorikeets will just flock down to you. Now back to the snake.
So it's just going
to
be full throttle, wide open, anything goes area.
It's going to be netted in, luckily. It's going to be netted in, but you'll walk in, and Mike, you'll have a cup of nectar or whatever. It'll fly right on your head, shoulders, arms, and you'll have 20 parrots on you. And
wow.
People go, well, is that fun? Absolutely. I mean, how do you learn to appreciate wildlife if you don't get up-close experiences with
right.
them? That's why zoos are so important. People always ask me the question, why are zoos important?
I think Grego's having a little bit too much of an up-close experience right now.
Okay, but, I'm far enough
cool?
away from it.
But Greg, the thing that I always love about Greg when he supports the zoo in that is that he knows most of us don't get a chance like Norm to go to Africa, Australia. I've been doing this 13 years. I've never gone to anywhere else but Mexico to do some flamingo work. But most people won't see these animals. So if they don't see them here, how are they going to appreciate them?
Yeah.
A movie, a magazine, a book? So we need to have
not
these
the
opportunities.
Same.
It's not the same. It isn't. It's why you go to a baseball game instead of
right.
watching on TV.
Do you not
right.
see the beauty in this thing, Greg? Just, I think this
I
is a gorgeous,
do.
Gorgeous creature.
I guess I do, but... All right, stop it. I see what you're doing.
What a good
what
trying
do you mean?
To get as close to me as you can.
No, we're not, Greg.
Yeah, you are.
It's far
you're
away. You're still 8 feet away from the thing.
That's not far enough.
Now, he's not molting or anything like that.
Not
right
yet.
Now.
No, he just did. That's why he's really shiny. But look how docile he is. People always think snakes are going to bite. If they're not scared, or if they're not hungry, they're not going to do anything to you, as long as you don't go pick them up. Here we have 110 species of snake in Texas. Of course, we have all the venomous.
I will have nightmares tonight.
Will you really?
You
no,
will
no,
not.
I guarantee I will. I get, there is no
you
question.
Have snake,
he's got your blizzard.
Blizzard.
He's got
man.
Your blizzard.
Okay. When was the last time this bad boy ate?
About 4 days ago. 4 days ago, he ate four rats, large rats, and they were delicious.
What's he going to eat again?
If you don't get that blizzard
away, now?
Pretty quick.
Probably a week from now, we hope. Some snakes, I mentioned this before we talked about this, can eat. This snake, when it's full grown, it's the third largest snake in the world, the Burmese python, behind the reticulated python, the anaconda. It can swallow something the size of a wild boar. We're talking a massive
God.
Animal, and you look at this thing, you say, how does it swallow? Just think about elastic rubber band stretching. They stretch, and they accommodate food, and it sits like a lump in their stomach, and then it takes months to digest. So a snake eating something that large may not eat for 6 months.
In other words, it's the basketball swallowing trick.
Yes, it is.
By Dick Hicks, the
yes.
sports cretin.
Really? Hope to see that sometime. We have an amazing reptile collection here. We have an amazing group of people here at the Fort Worth Zoo, and I don't just say that
because... Herpeterm, isn't that one of the best in the United States?
It's amazing.
What I've heard.
It's amazing. And I've been to other zoos. I've had a chance to travel around to lots of different zoos, and I came here from a great zoo in Columbus, Ohio. Phenomenal zoo, Jack Hanna up there, national acclaim, and I came down here because the zoo is just...
Yeah, that's the guy that was on Letterman a couple nights ago.
Letterman a couple nights ago on Good Morning America, but we're in one of the most pretty areas of Fort Worth or Dallas-Fort Worth that you're going to see. Not many places have these trees here, so when you come into a zoo, even on a 100-degree day, it's going to be, only 98, but at least you have some shade. So it's an amazing place.
So how much does this sucker weigh?
Hold him. Pick him up. He's 30 pounds, but it's not dead weight. He's grabbing you back, so he feels like about 60.
Oh.
Here, you get enlist him.
Yeah, it's like a mattress.
Yeah, holding on there. There we go. Isn't that great? Y'all can hold him if you want. Don't be shy out there if you want to hold on to him. But we have some jaguar cubs right now. We just had some red wolf pups, or the first ones that we've had at the zoo, red wolf pups, spoonbill chicks. So lots of breeding going on here at the Fort Worth Zoo.
Is there any animal that you don't have that you'd like to get at the zoo?
Yeah.
I mean, if you had an animal wish list for the zoo, what would be on it?
Well, I would love. You know what? That's a great question because I've always said if I had one animal to start a zoo with, it would be an Indian rhino, a greater one-horned rhinoceros. We have two here at the zoo. And those are the ones that have the armor plating that look like dinosaurs. We have two of those. But, you know, people love to see the cats. They want to see the elephants. They want to see the giraffes. You know, they want to see the big animals.
The animals that you see, you know, when you think of like the wild. You know, the lions, the tigers, the giraffes, the zebras.
Yeah, we have all that. We have all those. So we have the big five. Well, we don't have the water buffalo, the Cape buffalo, but we have, you know, all the amazing animals that, you know, when I grew up as a kid, I really wanted. I always wanted koalas. Well, we got koalas here about 6 or 7 years ago. We have koalas here. So Komodo dragons, you know, these huge reptiles, some of the bigger lizards you'll ever see. And we have them at the Fort Worth Zoo as well. So the wish list is small, but we're always trying to improve exhibits. And the thing I think that makes the zoo unique about it, and it's different than a lot of zoos, is that we really take pride in naturalistic exhibits.
Right.
Immersion exhibits. When you go in there, you feel like you might be seeing a little part of another part of the world, just
and
for
wasn't,
a moment.
Wasn't back in the 60s when this zoo was first conceptualized, that was one of the first ones in the United States, I believe.
We have since
Do you have a Corby dolphin?
We don't. We're looking for a pterodactyl as well, or a yuck monkey, because I'll tell you, like I said before, I've learned more about species of animals from you guys that I never knew about. The yuck monkey, the Corby whatever pterodactyl, so, but you guys are great. And you guys,
what is the oldest animal you have, do you know?
Yeah, we have an Aldabra tortoise that is approaching 100 years. So I know the male we had who passed away a couple years ago was over 100 years old. And those are some of the longest living animals on Earth. But we have an Aldabra tortoise, and we have, what else is up there in age? Our elephants, you know, elephants can live over 60, 70 years. So.
What do you say to people that, you know, the extreme people that are just against any kind of animal in captivity? What do you say to those people that claim that zoos are...
Animal rights people and so forth?
Yeah, well, what do you say to them?
I'll tell you what, I'm an animal rights person to begin with. I mean, I could be doing a lot of different things probably in my life than working with animals and making a lot more money. Let's just say that's the way it is. But we work in a nonprofit. The people here are special because they don't do it for the money. And they love animals more than people could ever realize. So when people say, well, they don't care about their animals, couldn't be further from the truth. I have people that work...
Now, okay, let me rephrase that a second, Sean. Not the people that say that you abuse them, or whatever, but the people that are just against any kind of captivity and in any kind of public viewing where you're putting an animal on display.
It's the same thing I tell them. I said, where else are we going to get this opportunity to see these animals? You know, why not do it right at a zoo... you know, Fort Worth and the other zoos that are in North America that are doing it right, and be able to see these animals up close, or we can just turn our head and just see what's happening. I mean, we have people out here saving iguanas, saving turtles, saving lions around the world because they need our help, and without that, without zoos, without that opportunity, we can't do our conservation programs around the world.
It was the zoo concept that came up with the endangered species list.
Absolutely. When you go around the zoo, next time you go around the zoo, look at the letters, three letters, SSP. Stands for Species Survival Plan, and it's a dating service for animals. There are stud bookkeepers, believe it or not, that track the lineage of these animals. They'll pair up a rhino in our zoo with a rhino at the San Diego Zoo, possibly, get them together, breed strong genetics here, do education work with them, and conserve species in captivity, and also take this into the wild, because as you know, every day you see, oh, this animal's on the endangered species list. Right. This habitat is destroying. If we don't do anything, I say to those people, why turn a blind eye to that? Why not make an effort to do all you can?
Because without that, there are several species, you know, the buffalo, number one, that would be totally extinct right now without the Conservation Act and
the
panda. Zoos.
Great conservation work, absolutely. You can go down the list of animals that are out there that are critically endangered that need our help. And, you know, it's one of those things where everybody says, you know, conservation is just an empty word. It's not an empty word. You know, recycling, whatever else, it's an empty word. It's not. Everybody can play a part. Coming to a zoo, being educated can play a part. You don't have to tackle all the problems of the world, but you can make a small difference right here in Texas to start with. And who knows, maybe somewhere else around the world.
Well, what you guys do is phenomenal.
Thank you.
I'm telling you that the zoo here in Fort Worth, it's one of the best-kept secrets in the state.
Thank you.
It is. And, Sean, we are in your debt for two things. Number one, your help in getting us out here today, for sure. And number two, bringing these great animals by once again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for you guys to be out here. We wish you could do it every week, but we'll look forward to
being
back.
And when you do your parrot thing, let us know, and we'll get the word out for you.
Parrot Paradise. It's opening mid-June. We'll let you know. You guys, thanks a lot.
Cool. Thanks, Sean.
All right, Sean Green of the Fort Worth Zoo. and his amazing array of animals. All right, coming up next, something very, very crazy has happened here on The Ticket.